Amen. All right, let's all stand and welcome Apostle Leon Walters from Christian International.
Christian International.
International. Can we smile over here at the camera?
Okay, where's the camera?
Right there.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we breathe?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give a hand to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Well, you know, every time that I minister, every time that I stand to minister, I just want to honor the King. Amen. The truth is that we can do nothing without Him. Amen. And just like Moses prayed and he said, God, lest your word goes in before me, lest you go before me in this journey, I dare not go. You know, there was a time in my life when I was real bold. And I just got ahead of God. Anybody ever got ahead of God in your life? Amen. Remember those years? Remember those times? Amen. Get your toes stepped on. Hallelujah. Get punched out a little bit. Amen. Then you learn, okay, God, I'm going to wait on your timing. Hallelujah. I want to be right in the timing of the Lord. Amen. I want to give honor to your apostles, your pastors, Apostle Dr. Janet Cook and Apostle Leonard Cook. Amen, for their years of pioneering. Amen, for their faithfulness, their commitment, their stick-to-itiveness, the true grit. Amen, of working through every battle and every situation. Amen, and they're still here building. Amen. But I'll tell you what, you're on the peripheral of one of the greatest breakthroughs that you've experienced. And you know what? I'm not afraid, Elder Jim, to just speak that and to prophesy that. Amen, because God honors His word. Say, God honors His word. Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So there is a boldness, amen, in faith where we speak outside the realm of our understanding. Amen. And so we can decree those things that are not as though they are. Amen. And we believe in our heart, amen, God is able to do that. Amen. So I don't know what your area of need is tonight, but I'm so confident that God knows what your need is. Amen. And He promised us in Matthew chapter 6, amen, that He knows what you have need of before you even ask or ascertain or ask or think. Amen. And so God knows what's in your heart. Amen. He's the author, the finisher of your faith. He knows the end of a thing before the beginning. Amen. And so it's us coming to that place of alignment and being willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And so I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. And I believe that's where we're at. Amen. Here at the river. Amen. And let me remind us tonight that all that has happened this weekend, every prophetic utterance, every worship, every beat of the drum, every strum of the guitar, or blowing of the trumpet, or activation of your voice, or every decree that we have released, it has already gone into the heavens, and it will be resounding in the heavens forever. Hallelujah. Say forever. Amen. So how important is it, amen, every time we have an opportunity to worship, every time we have an opportunity to shout, every time we have an opportunity to decree a thing or to pray, amen, or to give a sacrifice of praise to God, amen, do it with all your heart. Amen. And it just, I hear the word breaking out. Amen. It's like we're breaking out, amen, of an old mold or an old format and breaking into a whole new season. Amen. I tell you what I just saw a vision of. I just saw all these benches gone out of the building, and I saw beautiful chairs in here, amen, with comfortable pads on them. Amen. Not so that you could sit longer, amen, but so that they could be moved, so they could be rearranged, so we could make room for the glory to come in. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, we're going to go out with the old and we're going to come in with the new. Amen. So sometimes you have to be radical and you just have to dare to believe God. I don't care if you have to do it a row at a time. Amen. Amen. Begin to move. Amen. Let's make room. I like that song they were singing. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We're going to make room for you. Amen. How many know sometimes we have to get out of the way so God can get in there? Whoa, it took a lot to move Apostle Leon out of the way, amen, so God could get into all of my heart, amen. Well, I do. I'm going to jump into this word. At the same time, I want to be very spirit sensitive, amen, if there's some that were to call out and to minister to tonight, amen, that we do that. If you have your iPhone, or if you use, Droid. It's a Droid phone. I thought it was a Dread phone. I'm sorry. Amen. If you know where record is at on your phone, you can find record. Amen. You could have that word already recorded. Amen. We're going to jump right back into the Word. I'm just going to just reface just a little bit of what we've done this morning just to bring us back to remembrance where we're going here. Amen. We're just building on the Word about faith. Everybody say about faith. Connected with about faith, there are other military terms that if I get a chance, I'll give them to you. If I don't, Apostle Janet has it and she'll give it to you later. But we'll try to get. Do I have anybody in here tonight that's been in the military? Any veterans here? Well, hold your hands real high so I can see. I see one, two. All right. Now, I was never in the armed forces, but I've been in the army of the Lord. You was in the military? Yes? Oh, I saw your hand up there. Okay. Oh, you're scratching your head. Okay. Amen. So people that have been in the military, when I use these terms, they understand the depth of them and discipline, amen, of military terminology. And when the Lord began to speak to me earlier in the year, and he said about faith, he said, every time you use that term, I want you to use it in a military concept, amen, understanding that there's authority, amen, when we respond to the Holy Spirit. And it's important how we respond. Say, it's important how we respond. It's important how we respond. I've shared with you how, you know, God's taken me through some crash courses in the last probably 10 years, amen, to try to teach me something, amen, trying to teach me a new level of discipline. For example, I thought I had a really good discipline in prayer. If you was to ask me, I pray all the time. I pray while I'm walking. I pray while I'm driving. I pray in the grocery store. I pray all the time. Most of the time I pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. People don't understand what you're saying, but they don't know if I'm speaking Chinese, Spanish, or what, so they don't know. Amen. So I just pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's my intelligent language of heaven. Amen. But in my course of prayer, yet God spoke to me and he said, I want you to pray more. My immediate thought was, where do I have time to pray more? Because I felt like I prayed all the time. But guess what? God will find a time. He responds to me, says, I want you to pray early in the morning. Oh, God, early in the morning. I'm learning my boundaries here. Early in the morning. I said, God, what are you thinking about? He says, I'm thinking around 6:30 in the morning. And I'm like, God, I don't get to bed until 2:30 or 3 most mornings. You know, that's pretty early. I'm 76 years old. You know, I need more sleep, you know. But God just said 6:30. And so I said, okay, 6:30. And then I went in my office to pray. And then he says, not here. Well, what do you want me to do? I want you to go to the church and pray. Well, God, Jack Frost is outside. It's cold outside. Come on. I get to the church and I begin to pray and pull down heaven the way that we know how to pray. And God says, not that way. I said, so you want me to get up early? You don't want me to pray here? And you don't want me to pray that way? What are you wanting? He says, I want to have intimacy with you. Can I just release that as a charge to you tonight? Amen. The Father wants you to come into a place of His presence, amen, where you have intimacy with the Father. And I discovered that there's a place in intimacy with the Father that I did not know how to get there. I've been so busy praying that I didn't know how to get to a place of intimacy with the Father. Amen. And he began to teach me how to just be quiet a little bit and just listen to Him just a little bit more. And he began to teach me little things like, Apostle Leon, when you pray, why do you stare at the ceiling or at the wall so hard like I'm going to break through? Of course, none of you have ever done that. Why do you stare at one place where this is going to be the place of breakthrough? When will you ever believe that I never leave you and I never forsake you? I am always there with you. Come on. The Bible says that the kingdom of God, His kingdom, when the apostles begin to inquire about the kingdom, is it here or there? Jesus spoke to them and He said, it's in none of those places. My kingdom is in you. Come on. So coming to that realization that we don't have to call God up, we don't have to bring God in, we just have to release the Christ that is in us. Everybody say release. Just raise your hands right now. Father, we just release ourselves to you tonight, God. And Father, we want to be disciplined in this season. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want to be responders. We want to receive the orders of heaven that you're giving to us, oh God. We want to be responders to your word. We want to be activators of your revelation. We want to be demonstrators of your power. And we want to be receivers of your revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. So I kicked the message off this morning in relation to about face, and I heard God say, prepare for war. Let me give you just a little definition there. I've been in churches and places where people say, I'm getting tired of war. When does the war ever over? I don't believe the war is going to be over till the consummation of the ages. Come on now. When all the end has come together, come on now, and we're fully set to rule and reign with Christ forever. Come on. So from now to then, it is going to be warfare. And I'm not so sure that there won't be war in heaven. Come on now. Come on. The principalities and the powers are bound. Come on now. But there are kingdoms that are going to be possessed. And how long in eternity? I don't know. I just know that we're not going to float around on clouds and play golden harps. Come on now. And just be dreamy with our feet sitting in water for thousands of years. Come on. Look at somebody and say, God has more. God has more. We're going to rule. In order to rule, there has to be something to rule over, and there has to be domains. Come on now, that the church, the body, the bride of Christ will be ruling in. So God says, prepare for war. Let me just say, there's more than one measure of warfare. Our worship is a weapon of war. Say, my worship. Our worship is warfare. Our prayer is warfare. Our decree is warfare. Our silence sometimes is warfare. Come on. I believe it's the attitude of the mind and the heart. Come on now. That we are destroyers of the powers of darkness and we are activators of the kingdom of light. Amen. So God said this is a time to do an about face. In other words, I want you to make a 180 degree turn, and I don't want you to run anymore. I want you to confront your opposition. I want you to confront your weakness. I want you to confront your fears. Come on now. I want you to confront your past. Come on now. And I don't want you to run. I want you to turn, confront it, and I want you to deal with it. The Bible says greater is Christ that is in you than every weapon that the enemy has tried to form against you. Say, God is bigger. Amen. And so God says, I want to give you new strategies and new battle plans in this season that will outwit your enemy. Come on now. New strategies are coming to you. Elder Jim, new strategies are coming to you and Carol. Amen. This year, come on now, on how to deal with the business, how to deal with the kingdom, how to deal with the family, how to be establishers and planters of the kingdom of God. Amen. New strategy, new revelation God wants to impart to you. Come on now, that this will be a year not only of breakthrough, but breaking into, amen, the new thing that God has for you. Ooh, look at somebody and say, I'm going to break in. Amen. So he's going to give you new battle plans and strategies that will outwit your enemy. Amen. So understanding the military term of about face, at ease, attention, and charge, and all of these things, I heard the Lord say, in this place of warfare, I'm going to give you unprecedented supernatural breakthroughs. Say unprecedented. Amen. And this particular word, unprecedented, means something never known or ever seen before. When God says, behold, I will do a new thing, he is not talking about a makeover. He's not talking about a redo. He is talking about doing a brand new thing. Come on. Something you've never seen before, something you've never heard before. And listen, God's going to catch you by surprise. Amen. And there'll be a suddenly, all of a sudden, amen, God give you a supernatural breakthrough. Something you didn't expect. You didn't know how it was going to come. You didn't know how it was going to work. All you know is that it's going to happen. You didn't know the wind. And suddenly God broke through and your miracle was there. Woo! Say suddenly. Amen. So God said there's going to be a year. I'm just decreeing from this time forth over the rivers of life. Come on, going into your 24th year Come on now, if I get to come back in 24, amen, there's going to be something different that God's going to do in this house. If I get to come back at 25, there's going to be something even more different and more supernatural that God's going to do. Why? Because God is going to continue changing from glory to glory, precept upon precept, line upon line. He is going to keep changing you. He's going to keep shifting you. You are not going to stay stuck in the place you're in. Say, I'm not stuck. Amen. It's a time of kingdom release. Amen. God doing supernatural breakthroughs, things that you've never seen or ever done before. Amen. And so I heard the Lord say, this is not only a year of turning around, but a year, amen, of breaking through, a year of turning around about face and to conquer, to take back, and to repossess. I activated that word in our auditorium this morning. Amen. On replevin. Everybody say replevin. Amen. Get that word into your spirit. Let it be a prophetic word on the inside of you that God's given me a replevin from heaven. I believe we wrote a song about that. God's given us a replevin from heaven. Amen. But a replevin is a legal term. It's an authority, amen, to take back what was wrongfully taken from you. Come on now. Lawyers use this term in situations in the corporate arena, amen, empowering a replevin to somebody, amen, to take back land or to take back cars or to take back something, amen, that was wrongfully moved or wrongfully taken out of the contract. That is a replevin. Amen. If we look at David at Ziklag, it is probably one of the more clear pictures of a replevin in the scriptures. The Bible says when David and his mighty men came back to Ziklag, amen, that the Amorites, the Amalekites, and those that had joined together against David while they was at battle with the Philistines, amen, when they come back to Ziklag, the Bible says that all of their possessions were taken away, all of their homes, their tents, and all was a heap of ashes. Come on now. And I'm not talking about David and three or four men coming back. It was like 500-600 men with David that comes back to Ziklag. Come on. And the Bible says that these were men of war and they wept and they cried until they could cry no more. Come on, have you ever been in a position in your life, come on now, where you wept and you cried and all of a sudden there was no more tears because you had no more that you could pour out and you poured out all that you could. That's what David and his mighty men, they poured out all that they could. And then finally David said, bring me the ephod of anointing. Some tell you, I'd like to have a replica of an ephod and put it on. Glory to God. Amen. Just to preach, to pray. Amen. To prophesy. The Bible says he put on the ephod of anointing. Come on now. And he cried out to God. And he said, God, do I go to battle when I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do? Do I go or do I stay? What do I do, God? And God gave him a replevin from heaven. And he said, David, go and recover all. Say, recover all. Can I decree that right now to you? Amen. Go into the enemy's camp and recover all that the enemy has tried to rob, steal, and kill from you. Come on now. Why? Because God is not through with you yet. God has more for you yet. There is more to come. And God's releasing a replevin from heaven over the river of life. Come on now. And what the enemy has wrongfully stolen is all coming back. Come on. In a manifold way. Come on, I've heard the Lord prophesy for every one the enemy takes out, God will bring 10 to replace. Hallelujah. But I think sometimes you just have to step out on a higher level and you just have to begin to believe, dare to believe God outside of your understanding. Come on. Say, break out of limitations. Break out of limitations. So God said this is a time of conquering, of taking back, and of repossessing our rightful inheritance and what is legally ours. Amen? Now I heard the Lord speak, and this morning I shared it with you. Amen? That the devil has stolen enough and he has crossed over into territory that he's not authorized to get into. Come on, I've had the devil try to move into areas of our ministry and areas of our life. Come on now. All of a sudden, I was battling a battle. Come on now. God, why am I fighting this battle? Come on now. And now I discover that the enemy tries to get on your territory and he is not authorized to get on your territory. But if we don't arise and decree, come on now, and drive back the forces of hell, come on now, then he will begin to squat on your land. How many of you know what a squatter is? Come on now. I could tell you a story of a squatter in Trinidad, of a very wealthy family in Trinidad, and they would fly in and out of their country, and every time that they would fly back in, they would fly over their ranch, and you know, the thousands and thousands of acres, and there was a little tent or something that was down on the corner of the property, you know, and they were flying in, and his wife sees it, and she says, "What is that?" He says, "Oh, it's probably somebody in need, probably, you know," but they kept flying in and out, and it seemed like that little territory kept growing. And this is a true story. And his wife was getting very concerned. "Look, man, you've got to go talk to them. You've got to go deal with something here. That's not just a little tent anymore. They're taking large portions of land, and they're putting in more tents, and they're expanding down there. And you've got to go deal with them." And he kept saying, "Ah, it's just the porch," until they begin to possess a large portion of their property. And then when he rose up to drive him off of his land, he found out that they had a squatter right, and they took his land. Look at somebody and say, "Don't give the squatter any room." God, when we see the squatters trying to move in our territory, amen, we begin to drive them back. Drive them out of your business. Drive them out of your home. Drive them out of your family. Come on now. Drive them out of your finances. Come on now. Let's possess. Let's receive our replevin. Let's take back what is rightfully ours to inherit. Look at somebody and say hallelujah. So the devil is trying to get on your territory or to invade territory that God has not authorized for him to invade. We begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 18. I'm not going to read this whole account. I'm going to paraphrase for you. Amen. But this is where Hezekiah, finally, a king has arisen. Come on now. That began to lead Judah, even though Israel was on a downslide and Judah was in the process of following. Come on now. Finally, a king rises up. Amen. That does everything that is pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And he drove out the ites of the land. Amen. He began to possess. He began to tear down the Asher poles and tear down all the false idols, even in the high places. And he began to wage war in the land. And the Bible says that God commends him and tells him how great he is. "You are a great king, Hezekiah. There's never been one greater before you. And there'll not be one greater after you. Come on now. You have done everything pleasing in the eyes of the Lord according to your father David. Come on now. And you have done what was right, and you even took the high places. And I'm going to bless you, Hezekiah. I'm going to bless you when you're going out, you're coming in, every place your feet take you, your hands touch. I'm going to bless you." Come on. And God began to give a great commendation, amen, to Hezekiah. I like to use the word, amen, that this was his... Did y'all remember this morning? Go on, this was his resume. Say resume. How many of you would like to have a resume like that? Go on, I've done everything right. I was on time. I drove out the enemies. I possessed the land. I set law on the land. I set the right order. Come on now. And God was pleased with me. Amen. And God has blessed me. Come on. That is a beautiful resume. But as you read on in this scripture, amen, all of a sudden you'll see, amen, that Assyrian king, that Rabashanka, and all that was with the Assyrian king comes against Israel, and they drive Israel out into bondage because God had released them to do so because they would not hear or do the word of the Lord. And because of their rebellion, they was taken out of the place that they was in. Come on now. And they was carried away into other land. The Bible says that the Assyrian king moved in for 3 years and began to plant around them and begin to try to build around them. Amen. To put a fear into them. Come on now. A fear of bondage. Amen. To make bondage feel like it was something common or something normal when it is not normal. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying the devil will try to move in from the outside and he'll try to put a bondage around you. Next thing you know, poverty doesn't feel that bad. Next thing you know, abuse, well, I can deal with that. Next thing you know, being robbers coming in your life, well, we can deal with that. Come on now. And all of a sudden, some of these things, abortion, you know, we can handle that now. Or some of the gay movement, we can deal with that now. Come on. All of a sudden, these things that are abnormal begins to feel normal. Look at somebody say, it is not normal. And so it's called besiegement. The enemy moves in from the outside to try to besiege, to put fear in the people, and it becomes so normal to them that after 3 years they move to the inside and they begin to cause an implosion from the inside of Israel. Come on now. The Bible says that after another 3 years of bringing that to the inside, then they were finally taken. Look, somebody say, it's not going to happen to me. Now, why? Because we have knowledge. We have understanding of the Word of God. We understand our authority. Come on now. And we can position ourselves. We can decree the Word of the Lord. And we can fight back. Come on now. We don't just have to stand and see what's happening. Amen. It's time for the church to arise. Come on. In a new level of warfare. Come on now. And begin to identify when something is not right. Come on now. And I'm one that can make a difference. The Bible says that this Assyrian king, after he drives out Israel, then he just comes and he begins to take the fortified cities of Judah. I'm trying to draw the parallel that with Israel, there was that, you know, that besiegement. There was the years of taking, but it doesn't appear to be that way with Judah. It just appears, come on now, that the Assyrian king thought, I can take Israel. Come on now. We moved in them. We had favor with them. They couldn't fight back. We overpowered them. We drove them out of the land. Come on now. And we took from them. Come on. And now we're going to take Judah. That's what I'm trying to outline for you. Come on, is that God authorized and give him an authorization, amen, to bring persecution against Israel. But he did not authorize them to bring that persecution against Judah. Come on now, all of a sudden he's rising up against Judah. Say, I'm of the tribe of Judah. Come on, the enemy is trying to take land, but he says, now I'll just move in and I'll take Judah. Come on now. But if you read about Hezekiah, the Bible says that Hezekiah began to come under this feeling of, what have I done wrong? Look at somebody and say, nothing. He hasn't done anything wrong at this point. Come on now. The only thing that I could see was in the besiegement under pressure. Say under pressure. It doesn't matter how big a name you have, how famous you are, how anointed you are. Come on. How much revelation you have, how many books you've written, how many television programs you've done, how many nations that you've traveled to. Come on now. In the end, it doesn't matter how much you have done under pressure. If you are not alert and on guard, the enemy will try to move in and try to take you. Come on. So all of a sudden, here's a man with a resume that was so righteous, so perfect before God, all of a sudden this same person is saying, what have I done wrong? You know, I got home from my office one day. This was in Florida. My wife was cooking dinner and I got home and I sat down in my lounge chair. It was probably 6 p.m. And, I hadn't sat there, Dr. Janet, for 15 minutes. And I could feel tiredness coming over me. We all do that, right? I could feel tiredness. But it was more than tiredness. It was like a depression. All of a sudden, I just felt like, what have I done wrong? What did I not do enough of? What did I not serve enough of? What did I not give myself enough in? All of a sudden, I'm battling this feeling. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, what are you experiencing right now? And it woke me out of my slumber. And I said, I don't know. What is this thing? He said, what did you do today? I said, well, I got up. I went to work. I wrote letters. I did conference calls. I prayed for people. I prophesied to some people. I counseled with some pastors. And I set some order in the office. And all I did was just come home tired. What are you talking about, Apostle? I'm talking about a spirit of suppression or a spirit of depression. Come on now. Will all of a sudden try to set on you. And it's kind of like Hezekiah. What have I done wrong? Come on. That's when you need to shake yourself and you need to arise. Come on now and say, I am who God says that I am. I'm anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Just drive out every force of hell. Come on now. Every spirit of oppression and depression. Come on. I've not done anything wrong. I am convinced if Hezekiah would have looked at his resume and reminded himself, this is who I am. Come on. I believe there's an identity crisis in America. You know, it all started with what we call identity theft. But now it's expanded way beyond that. Now it's an identity of who you are. Are you man? Are you woman? Are you boy? Are you girl? Come on. It's attacking an identity on the human race. Come on, you can give the devil an inch, the devil will try to take a mile. I'm trying to tell you that under pressure, if you don't look at your resume, if you're not reminded, I have to remind myself. Come on, of who I am in Christ. I get among companies of people, I don't mind telling you, I get among companies of people and you can feel such a competition among ministers and among other people. Come on now, all of a sudden you feel like the little guy or like absolutely like nobody, and I have to pinch myself and I say, I just look like them, but I'm a bionic man, glory to God. I'm filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, come on now. I've done my years of service, come on. I am who I am by the grace of God. Somebody say, sometimes you just have to stand up. You have to stand up and you have to shout it out. Well, so interesting, because Hezekiah fell prey to all of that. Not only did he give the king all of the gold and the silver in the temple of God, but the Bible said he stripped the columns and the doorposts of all the gold that he overlaid himself. Come on now. And he gave it all to the king of Assyria to try to appease the king of Assyria for something that he was not guilty of. I'm trying to tell you tonight, the devil does not have authority and he's not been given right to get on your territory. Come on, if I can activate a warring mentality, a warring spirit in you to rise up and begin to decree who you are in Christ Jesus. Come on now and take your rightful stand. You will push the enemy back and you'll begin to possess what is rightfully yours. As you read through the rest of chapter 18 there, and I'm not going to read it all for you tonight, but if you was to read through the rest of chapter 18 and 19, I encourage you to do so. Amen. You'll read the accounts of how the Assyrian king, even though Hezekiah gave him all the gold and all the silver, and he gave him everything that he had, it just seemed like it opened the door. Come on now. And now the devil, that Assyrian king, is trying to move in closer. Come on now. And now they begin to threaten, and now they're trying to besiege Judah. Come on, bringing threats like, don't you listen to that Hezekiah? Don't you hear the voice of those prophets? Don't you believe when they say that you're going to be delivered and that Judah is going to be free? Come on now, and Jerusalem is going. Don't you believe that your deliverer is going to come? He has not come yet. Look at the king of Assyria. Look at all that he has done. Look at the accomplishment of humanism. Look at the accomplishment, come on now, of the laws of the land. Look what we have done. Don't you believe that that God that you serve is going to break through for you? God, the whole chapter is about intimidation. Come on now. It's that spirit that is trying to come in, to try to tear down faith, to try to put you out of your place. Come on now. To try to move you out of your authority. And you see that, and you see Judah at a time they're like crawling and they're in fear and they're hearing this. Come on now. But by the time you get into chapter 19, Hezekiah begins to rise up. Come on now. And he calls for the prophet of God. Bring me the prophet of God. Come on now. And begin to prophesy. And the prophet Isaiah began to prophesy. Yes. Say he prophesied. He began to prophesy. Come on now. And he said, don't you fear that Assyrian king. Don't you fear, because God is going to rise up and God is going to fight for you. Just like this prophetic word that was coming through Dr. Janet tonight. Amen. God is going to arrive in your behalf and God is going to fight for you and God is going to drive back your enemies. Come on now. And God will persecute and God will torment your enemies and he will vindicate you and he will set you free, and all that was taken from you is going to come back to you. Woo! So it doesn't matter how well known you are, how many books you've read, it doesn't matter. Under pressure, if you don't remember who you are in Christ, you'll fail. You know, we had another man in the Bible. His name was Elijah. How many remember Elijah? You remember Elijah when he had an assignment, amen, from heaven. And God says, I want you to take a message to Ahab. And I want you to decree to Ahab, amen, that the drought that's been on the land is going to be over. How many of you remember that account? The Bible says that as Elijah is on his journey to give a message to Ahab, amen, that he's walking by Mount Carmel and he sees something out of his sight of his eye, and it's like, I just saw something that's not right. See, I believe that I could prophetically say, open your eyes, church, because there are things happening in the land that is not right. Don't just drive by. Come on now, begin to speak a word and begin to decree it. The Bible says he looks aside and he sees the prophets of Baal on top of the mountain, and they're giving sacrifices to Baal. Come on now. And Elijah, I believe, possibly walked a little ways past it, and then he said, you know what? That just isn't right. See, I can't find in the Bible where the Bible says, Dr. Janet, that God said, I want you to go and I want you to destroy the prophets of Baal. No, he said, I want you to go and take a message to Ahab and tell him that the drought is going to come to an end. The drought is going to be over. But on his way, he saw something wasn't right. But because of his identity, because of his authority, because of his anointing, he said, that is not right. Come on now. And the Bible says he pulled aside and he went up on the mountain and he began to challenge the prophets of Baal. Oh, you know the account. Come on. He intimidated them. Come on now. About their false god, this false god, your servant. Let's tell you what. Let's prove who is God today, can we? Come on, you build an altar and you put your bull on the altar, and I'll build my altar and I'll put my bull on the altar, and we'll say whose bull gets consumed first by fire. Come on. Bible says the prophets of Baal, they build an altar, they put the bull on the altar, they make the sacrifice, and they go through all of their contortions and all of their idol worship and all that they do, and just nothing happened. Come on. After a while, then Elijah says, let's try my bull, puts his bull on the altar, and he says, oh, by the way, let's water this bull down really good. Let's put so much water on this bull, we got to dig ditches around it and fill the ditches with water. Come on now. I want you to see that with God, all things are possible. Look at somebody and say, break out of the norm. Elijah's breaking out of the norm. Come on, he is going way out there. I received a prophetic word from Prophetess Cindy Jacobs one time, and she called me out and she said, Apostle Leon, God's going to get you so far out in faith, you're going to be so far out in the water, only faith can save you. Yeah. Well, you have to know that I don't know how to swim really good. And if you're going to get way out in deep water and you don't know how to tread water, duh. Say, you're in trouble. Come on now. But she said, God's going to get you so far out into deep water, only faith can save you. Elijah's getting himself so far out in deep water because he fully believes in the God of Elijah. Come on now. The Bible says that he called fire from heaven. Let the God of Elijah send fire. Come on. The Bible says fire came down and not only consumed the sacrifice and consumed the altar, but it licked up all the water, dried up all the land, and all that was left was ashes. And then he released a Zoe breath of heaven and he blew away the ashes. Say, God's a big God. Woo. I'm drawing a parallel for you with Elijah and with Hezekiah. The Bible says that Elijah went from that place to the top of the mountain. Come on now. And he began to pray. Come on. And he had his servant looking for a cloud in the heavens. How many remember the story? Seven times. And the seventh time, all of a sudden there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Come on now. Elijah didn't have to see a lot. He just had to believe a lot. See, I believe the scripture. I cannot find where that is typology in the Bible. I find it to be a literal translation. Come on now. That he saw a hand the size of a man's hand in the sky. I don't know that I could see a size of a man's hand in the sky. Just think about it. But I believe the little servant was desperate. Come on now. He goes back to Elijah and he said, I saw a cloud the size of a man's head. That was all that Elijah needed. Come on now. I just wanted a sign. It didn't matter how big. Come on. I just wanted a sign. And the Bible said he began to shout and he began to do a war dance. Hallelujah. Amen. The drought is over. The drought is broken. Get yourself ready. A deluge is coming. The deluge wasn't there yet, but it is coming and the excitement is there. So I think some of us are waiting too much before we respond in faith. Come on now, that God is going to do what He said that He's going to do. He's going to bring the kingdom release that He said He is going to bring. Come on now. And some of us are waiting too long. Come on now. I believe it. I receive it. I heard the word of the Lord. Wow! I believe the word of the Lord. Come on now. And I'm going to dance my miracle in. Look at somebody and say, why not? Why not? The Bible says that Ahab received the news and he goes down to his chariot and his heart and he begins to ride to Jezreel. The Bible says that Elijah come running off the mountain. Come on now. And he's running alongside Ahab and he outruns the horses and the chariots to get to Jezreel. Are y'all with me? Are you sure? Okay. The Bible says he gets to the gates of Jezreel. And there's a servant there of Jezebel. The Jezebel confronts Elijah. And he says, since you have killed our prophets, you will regret that you were ever born because we're going to kill you and all of your prophets. Come on now. And we're going to destroy you. I'm paraphrasing for you guys, please. The Bible says that a fear came over Elijah. Man, such a fear that he actually ran for his life. And even to a point where he sought to take his life. Ask yourself a question. What happened between Jezreel and Mount Carmel? What happened to the fire? What happened to the God of Elijah when he was confronted with the challenge of impossibility? So it doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter how popular you are. Doesn't matter how religious you are. Come on now. Under pressure. If you don't look at your resume and you don't look at who you are, I fully believe if Elijah would have just looked for just a moment. Come on. I just came from the prophets of Baal and I destroyed. I killed them all. Come on now. I just called rain from heaven and I broke the drought off of the land. Why? God is with me. Any weapon formed against me, I will not prosper.
Amen, amen. That's right.
Let me break that down just another notch for you. It wasn't Jezebel that met Elijah at the gate of Jezreel. It was a servant of Jezebel. Say a servant. A messenger of Jezebel. You know, when I was preaching that, I heard the Lord say this to me, Dr. Janet. Be aware of secondhand information. Say secondhand information. Be careful. Be aware of what somebody might tell you or what somebody might say against your pastor or against your elders or against your neighbor, against your brother, against your... Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Don't just believe everything that you hear. I know who I am. Come on now. I know Elders Jim and Carol. I know Apostles Janet and Leonard. Come on now. I know you in the Spirit. Come on now. And it doesn't matter what somebody says about you. I know who you are in the kingdom of God. Come on now. And my ears are not going to entertain secondhand information. Just put your fingers on your ears right now, would you? Father, there's a new sound that is coming from heaven, and it's a sound of war. It's the voice of the Father. It's a new sound that's going to resonate in the mind and in the heart of your people. Father, I pray a covering, a protection over their ears right now. Lord, that their ears will hear the truth and the truth will make them free. And that that discernment will arise in them and they will discern the lies and all of the fear tactics of the enemy. Just like what came against Hezekiah, what came against Elijah. God, because you give us those examples, oh God, we can raise the standard higher. Come on now. And we can reject all of the false sounds of the enemy. And we will be responders according to faith. Lord, heal their ears right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord a praise offering, can we? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what's so beautiful in chapter 19, is that Hezekiah finally hears the word of the Lord. The Bible says he received the letter from the Rabshakeh, from that spirit that tried to besiege and tried to take and tried to rob, steal, and destroy. The Bible says he took it and he laid it on the altar of the temple. And he began to pray over that letter. Listen, when he prayed, he didn't say, oh God, help us. He said, God, vindicate us. God, heap upon our enemies, oh God. The ones that are threatening us and the ones that are defying you and the ones that are coming against your kingdom, oh God. The ones that are lying, the ones that are defying your power and the magnitude of your grace upon your people, oh God. Vindicate us and destroy our enemies, oh God. The Bible says that somehow Elijah heard the prayer of Hezekiah in the spirit. And he released a word of the Lord. And he said, because you have prayed against your enemy, I have heard you. Look at somebody say, God hears you when you pray. Come on, God hears you when you pray. Come on now. I just believe that we can't just pacify in this season. Come on now. We can't play games with the enemy. Your enemy is your enemy. Come on now. And you literally defy and you come against your enemy and you put your enemy under your feet. Because you prayed against your enemy, I have heard your prayer. Come on. The Bible says that God sent an angel. Say an angel. He didn't send a legion. He didn't send thousands or hundreds. He sent an angel. And one angel took out over 185,000 Assyrians. Come on now. He raised the Assyrians' king's sons up against him. And the sons took his own life. Come on now. I'm telling you, God will fight for you. Say, God will fight for me. God will fight for you. Out and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder right now. Thank you, Father. Just touch the shoulder of somebody. Let me just say how good it's been. How good it's been. Amen. Just to be here with you. Amen. And just to impart to you. But I pray that you've heard something. I pray that you've received something. I pray that you take the word of the Lord. And that you do an about face. And you confront some things in your life and in your ministry, in your business, in the position that God has you in. Because it's a brand new day for you. It's a brand new day for your church. It's a brand new day for your city. And Father, just let the glory of the Lord flow through their hands right now. God, as they lay hands on one another, oh God, you're multiplying, you're increasing, oh God, the authority, Father. Lord, where two or three are joined together, where one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. God, there's that multiplication of your anointing upon them right now and your favor to flow through them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clan clap, can we? Amen. I'll give it back to Apostle Dr. Janet right now in Jesus' name. You're going to get your microphone? Praise the Lord. Hug somebody. Tell them you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Amen.